Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say, but call us on that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional and across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. All ears here on your daily program. All right, critical warning on mental health, a critical need for much more real support for people who have severe mental illness, as disturbing figures reveal an alarming 68% of people who have mental health issues are missing out on any kind of support in the community. Nearly 7 out of 10. Those numbers are high. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Rob Ramjan, Board Director of the Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. And we have Rob on the line. Rob, good morning.
Hi.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Rob?
I'm in Sydney.
In Sydney. Look, numbers are very high. The fact that we're talking about it here on the national program, look, it's a start, but we need action behind the so-called talk fest. So tell us where we're at regarding critical warning on mental health, Rob.
Look, you're dead right. It's a bit of a talk fest. A couple of weeks ago in August, all of the federal, state and territory ministers for health, mental health ministers met, and our expectation was that they would make some funding announcements. It's been years in the coming, but instead of making any funding announcements, all they did was release a report that was clearly demonstrating about 250,000 Australians who have a severe and persistent mental illness and not getting any support at all.
Well, done the so-called survey, did all the questions, got the report, but there's action needed behind the report. So the question is, here is the report, what's the duration of the so-called funds, money, we're talking here, which is the tool that starts working in this space?
Absolutely, and there was no statement about that whatsoever. They've kicked it down the road. You know, it's one of those classic strategies of you make an announcement, we've got together, we've had a chat, but we need more information. Well, in fact, we don't need more information. We know that there are a minimum 250,000 people in Australia who've got severe and persistent mental illness who are not getting any psychosocial support at all. What we need is action. You're dead right in what you're saying. We need action, and we need it now. We're not naive. We don't think that they should be saying, you know, here's a couple of billion dollars, go fix the problem, because that won't work either. But they need to start. They need to say, basically, there should be an aspirational target of 10% of the health budget being spent on mental health services within 10 years. At the moment, it's under 7% and getting smaller. We need that aspirational target, 10 years' time. You know from what's happened with closing the gap.
Exactly.
It doesn't happen immediately. It's something that's going to take time, and it's going to take review, and it's going to take acknowledging the failures that have happened along the way. We want to start that journey. We don't want more reports, more discussion.
Exactly.
Let's start.
You're a board, one of the board members of the Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. With money at the table, what can we do with this money? What avenues, what do you think we need in regard to this space?
We're spending a hell of a lot of money on hospital-based services, and we obviously need hospital-based services. But 99% of people are in the community. And whether it be metropolitan, regional, remote, that's where people are, and that's where the services need to be. We need an investment of funding and services where people are actually living. So it's getting to them where they are, when they need it, as they need it. You know, we had a number of programs, day-to-day living, partners in recovery, personal helpers and mentors, and a national carers program that were doing that. But they all got defunded and all of that money went into the NDIS.
Yes.
And that's why we've now got about 250,000 people missing out.
And when you say go to NDIS, well, mental health would be under that umbrella, would it not?
Yeah. People with psychosocial disability can apply. The difficulty is a lot of people who have a psychosocial disability don't accept that they have a problem at all. Sure. And that wasn't a problem for the programs that were funded before. You didn't need to say, I've got schizophrenia, I've got bipolar disorder to access those programs. But to get the NDIS, you've got to prove that you've got a lifelong disability.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to do that.
Sure.
A lot of people don't want to accept that this is a lifelong disability. And it's wrong for mental illness because a lot of people with a mental illness, it's episodic.
Sure.
It's not there all the time. When they have an acute episode, they really need it. The psychosocial disability will be worse when they're unwell.
Well, the so-called application, Rob, is virtually targeting, if not exposing, the mental illness, which could affect the patient, could it not?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and so what we really need is to get some of those programs back to, but you know, just basically the funding for mental health services in this country, whether it be state, territory, or federal, it's appallingly low. The World Health Organization has looked at the burden of all diseases, and the burden of mental illness is around 14%. So 14% of the health budget should be spent on mental health services. It's under 7%.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about alarming 68% of people who have mental health issues are missing out, well, we're talking 7 out of 10. So when you're talking about COVID-19 as a pandemic, mental health is a pandemic.
It is. It is. And, you know, given all the things, good mental health is critical for every Australian.
Yes.
Good mental health. It doesn't matter where people come from. Good mental health is really important. But when somebody's mental health is not functioning properly and they become unwell, the cost of that is massive.
Yes.
If we intervene early, if we assist people, then we can get much better outcomes. The current Minister of Health, Mark Butler, linked up with the then New South Wales Minister for Mental Health and identified that Australia was the worst in the OECD for getting people with a psychosocial disability back to
work.
And
it's not a trophy we want.
It's not. I always remember, I'm going to forget his name, the television comedian who did the song, I don't care, just as long as we beat New Zealand. But we are being beaten by everybody.
That's Connolly, isn't it?
Andrew Denton.
Andrew Denton, thank you, yep.
Yeah,
as long as we've been in New Zealand. But what I'm saying is like, there's the mental illness is what he's delivering in his statement.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're coming last in so many different places.
Yeah.
But people with a mental illness are in the community. They always have been. I don't know about Queensland figures, but New South Wales, the highest number of people in a psychiatric hospital was in 1962. But even at that time, 99% of people with a mental illness were in the community.
Rob, you could say as well, the facets of life, the necessity of life affects the mind as well. We're talking housing. We're talking employment. We're talking education, talking relationships, all the above. It all comes in the one vehicle, does it not?
It does. And, you know, when you look, we used to run a Partners in Recovery program in southwest Sydney, and we had people with a mental illness living in their cars, living under bridges, Their social environment was appalling, so it wasn't a surprise that they would have episodes of acute mental illness.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, people who don't have enough to eat, people who don't have meaningful occupation in their day, the risk for them is greater.
So when you look at Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia, what do you now do in regard to the so-called report is out? How do you push for the plan of attack, the move forward, the solution?
I would encourage your listeners, you will have you've got a state election coming very soon.
Yes.
There's a federal election that's got to happen within the next 6 months. Politicians seem to think that this is not an issue that people will get upset about. I would encourage your listeners, write to your local member, say yes. that you do care. Ask them what they're going to do about it.
Yes.
We're calling on both, with the federal election, both the government and the opposition, come to the election with a really detailed policy around what you're going to do for people with a mental illness.
Yep. Have those conversations with the so-called candidates who are looking for the vote. Well, here, this is what you can do for me. You'll get my vote. We should be all singing the same song, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should. Yep. And you know, it's not that complicated.
No, it's simple,
nothing.
Really.
So
exactly, yeah.
Do something. Do something.
Yep. Well, thank you for the yarn, Rob. It's sad numbers, but we're having this conversation, national, tall, black, around the country. And thank you for your input and all the best to the Mob Dead Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. Thank you very much, Rob.
Look, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
You take care and we'll be in touch, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Rob. There it is. That's Rob Ramjan, his name, Board of Director of Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. Critical warning on mental health and the critical need for much more real support for people who have severe mental illness, as disturbing figures reveal an alarming 68% of people who have mental health issues are missing out on any kind of support in the community. And we're talking nearly 7 out of 10 people are in that situation. So that in itself is a pandemic. Look, have you say, Jan Upstrong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Look, for our mob out there, if you want someone to talk to, 13 Yarn, 139276, black on black. If you want to yarn to somebody about your situation, then yes, please reach out. Of course, you've got Lifeline as well, 131114. Kids Helpline, 1-800-551-800. They're the numbers you need to call. Phone call away is the support. There it is. Have you seen Jan Upstrong? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Traveling in a brand new trophy on a beanie trailer full of stories. I met a strange styler, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me my name.
And she said,
we come from a land down under. Where dollars smile and beanie
blunder.
Can you hear that thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Buying bread from a man in Darwin. He was 6'4", Nagi Muke. I said, you're speaking my language. Don Wingo. And he smiled and gave me a bit of my money. You come from a land down under. Where dollars smile and beating
thunder.
Can you hear that thunder? You better run, you better take a run. I'm a better man.
I said to the man, are you trying to tempt me? Cause I come from the land of plenty.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM, BBM.
Hi. My brother, I've been padded ever since I was a kid. Black sheep of the family, grew up, houses how I live. Had to make some changes, so I did what I did. Out here making money, I'm waiting for Santa Link. Rent due, kids need food, give what they need. Come from nothing, so I gotta get it by any means. Remember the days when we had nothing to eat. So now I lose sleep before my kids lose a feet. Grandmama dead, swear that shit made me worse. Only woman gave up for caught me stealing out of purse. Seeing that pain and I had me lost for words. Wish she was still here to give her back what she did. But gotta keep moving, keep improving the music. Make it back for the times when they said that I was useless. I blow up, still don't know where I'll be moving. That's the NSTG with the blueprint, I'm saying. Gra! Shiki wiki! My brother cut the grass, cause next hard on where I'm staying. Never did they think they could kick it off from the pavement. We hustle all day and all night for a payment. So when they doubt me, I'm still here like what you saying. So gotta get it out the mouth for my kids growing up. Cause I remember when I was them, no one wanted us. And now it's all us on me.
Yeah, to Delhi, welcome back to your daily program. That's Wicked there, STG, Stay True to God. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country as BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yana Strong, you mob too, deadly. All right, guidebook to increase student inclusion, retention and unit completion. A new learning resource designed to engage First Nation students to complete courses and succeed in tertiary education will be rolled out through Charles Darwin University, CDU. The lecture guidebook by researchers from CDU's Northern Institute and Faculty of Arts and Society aims to support lecturers engaging the First Nation students in ways that demonstrate and promote cultural responsiveness, inclusion and respect. I love this ingredient. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Kate Gobelsekia and Alicia Boyle. And we have them on the line. Very good morning. Ladies, how are we?
Good morning. Good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So Dr. Kate and Alicia, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, lovely. Yes. Alicia, Associate Professor, Gadsall Hill?
Yes, so we... one person on the team is Associate Professor Guziel Hill, yes, and the project lead is Dr. Tracy Woodruff. However, it's only Alicia and myself, Kate, who are joining the conversation today.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, look, we're talking about opportunities for First Nation students to complete courses and succeed in tertiary education. Rolled out by Charles Darwin University, fantastic. And look, a great opportunity for our Indigenous students to go forward in tertiary education, yes?
Yes.
So enlighten us, please, about this fantastic this guidebook that we're talking about.
Yes, well, look, The team has designed the guidebook, which is a very handy size that can actually sit on a lecturer's desk. It's designed as a flip book.
Yes.
So we can just flip pages and look at the different sections and examples. The guidebook is designed to be a convenient resource for all Charles Darwin University lecturers on how they can be culturally responsive when they are either in the classroom or otherwise engaging with First Nations students.
It's like a Charles, a cultural awareness book I'm picking up.
Yes. Good. So the guidebook talks about cultural responsiveness and First Nations student engagement. So the guidebook provides short definitions of what is cultural responsiveness and provides practical examples provided to the research team by our CBU lecturers,
yes,
how we can engage with our First Nations students in ways that are culturally responsive,
yes,
and what will make them feel safe.
Yes.
So,
can I ask the question regarding teachers, educators, professors and the like? First Nation people at the table?
No. So we are not First Nations ourselves. However, the project leader, Dr. Tracy Woodruff, is a First Nation woman. She's Waramangolurichia.
Sure.
And she is leading the project. She has been leading the project since it started in 2022.
Look, it's a great concept, you know, a great tool that non-Indigenous educators can use. Fantastic. It's a start. When did we start to realise the guidebook was needed?
Look, so it was, you know, it was an organic process. So as I mentioned, Dr. Tracy Woodruff, who works with us here at Northern Institute at CGU, has been conducting research on education of First Nations students, as well as on teacher preparation for several years now. And so in this organic process, she pulled us together. So myself, Kate Golubiowska, Alicia Boyle, who is here with me today, and also Associate Professor Guziel Hill. And we have come to work together on this project. We brought different types of expertise to the team. And in those early conversations, we agreed that as one of the outputs of our research, we wanted to create a practical resource for lecturers. And as you mentioned earlier, we are hoping that not only Indigenous, but probably even more so, non-Indigenous lecturers and professionals.
Sure. It's an educational tool for the educators, which is fantastic. Exactly. How was the data pool to make up the guidebook? I'm thinking with Dr. Tracy at the table, that in itself would have been a fantastic ingredient.
Yeah, Trevor, we certainly started off with the research and the information that Tracy had brought to the table. And I guess all the work we've done over, most of us have been here over 20 years, so we're sort of familiar with the environment. We had a look at the CDU data, and we were looking at, you know, at the numbers of First Nations students we had here in undergraduate education and, you know, what courses they were enrolled in, their retention rates in those courses and their completion rates. And you look at the, you know, the high-level CDU strategic documents and we go, well, you know, we've got a bit more work here to do to reach our goals. So, you know, what is it that we need to do? So we surveyed our 650-odd undergraduate students at CDU to find out their experiences of being a student. We also asked them about if they would like to nominate staff, whether they were academic or professional staff that had really helped them to succeed.
Yes.
And we had 42 nominated staff from the students, and so we set out to interview all those staff about what it was that they did that really made a difference. So we had some amazing conversations with those staff over the year. And then we conducted another two focus groups, one in Darwin and also one in Sydney where we have a campus as well.
So well, one of the ingredients you're talking about here is guidebook is inclusion. But of course, and what I'm picking up, which is fantastic, there's inclusion with the community and with the students in regard to the solution to the problem, so to speak, but it steers the ship into the future.
Yes, very much so, Trevor. And so our guidebook is informed, as Alicia has just explained, by input from First Nations undergraduate students who were part of a survey for this project, but also informed by conversations that the research team has had over the last 2 years with academic and professional staff. Good. And so the guidebook really pulls together this information. And if you look at the online version, because the guidebook is available in hard copy, so that it can sit on someone's desk, as well as an electronic resource, you can see that we've created sections where there are, for example, quotes from our lecturers, you know, what they do and how they work in a way that are country.
Look, as we know, life is simple, but people complicated. This is a very simple process, but very powerful. And this should be templated across the country with all institutions, of course.
Look, so the project has a website, and the electronic version of the guidebook is available there for download. I'm just checking if I can share the website with our listeners today. So the website is firstnationsuccess.cdu.edu.au. And there is a link on this website which allows to download the resource.
Good. Again, the website, First Nations, sorry?
firstnationsuccess.cdu.edu.au.
Okay, fantastic. Excellent, CDU, yep, lovely. CDU, come again, dot First Nations Success.
Education.au.
Education.au. Fantastic. Look, it's a great concept. It's a great tool for non-Indigenous educators, but also for the communication with our Indigenous students. And it just makes that that journey a whole lot stronger. And we're talking about inclusion, retention, and unit completion. Helps them get over the line as well because of communication.
We should also add that the project is planning to release a similar guidebook for students.
Yes.
So the two cohorts at the university, the lecturers and the students, will have access to similar information. And the student guidebook is not going to be a flipbook similar in to the guidebook for lecturers, but we would like the student guidebook to be a pocket-sized resource, which we hope to be putting into the all-week bags at the beginning of next semester in 2025.
And I suppose the guidebook would be introduced to new students as they get the application successful. They come into the institution as a student. There's the guidebook front and centre.
Yes, so this will be during the all-week, the orientation week to for new students.
Lovely. Thank you for sharing, Dr. Kate. Alicia, thank you very much. A fantastic tool. Please do keep in touch. And I think it's a great opportunity and a great vehicle for our mob to complete and retention, as you're saying, inclusion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you for
all the best, ladies. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Dr. Kate Gobbleskia and Alicia Boyle. And they're from CDU, Charles Darwin University, lecturers, and talking about the new learning resource designed to engage First Nations students to complete courses and succeed in tertiary education, and also to increase student inclusion, retention, and unit completion. Fantastic. Whatever it takes, it's by any means necessary. Let's get our mob educated and make it a successful journey. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here with the Bawley One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob, National Talk Black.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship relationship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootchopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation.
Yeah, powerful message there, Wootchopperin Kinship Care. Big shout out to Wootchopperin. Thank you very much. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yana Strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yindinji country. That's BBM Bumbabip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, You Mob, Too Deadly? All right, big shout out to Queensland Music Festival and their trails, Queensland Music Trails, organising Shine on Gimoy, opening tonight. And look, with that, a lot of entertaining artists and what have you, and some music and colourful lights, and our culture is strong. Second year running here in Cairns, Shine on Gimoy. And look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with one of the artists who will be performing. He's a poet, he's a storyteller, cultural educator, and spoken word artist. And we're talking about Brother Rob Waters. We have Rob on the line. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Brother, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, Rob, let the mob know who your mob were you from, bro.
I'm a Goomery man from a place that they currently call Tamworth, but a place that has always been called Goomery country.
Yes.
My grandmother's and my grandfather's country.
Fantastic, my brother. So listen, you're performing at Shine on Gimoy. You are a poet, storyteller, cultural educator, and spoken word artist. So that means you don't mind a yarn, brother. And don't mind sharing. So tell us what. So tell us about your delivery at Shine on Gimoy, which is opening tonight and running for a good solid week, my friend. Tell us about your delivery.
Yeah. I've got Aunty Rhoda Roberts here.
She, yes.
Invited me up. I saw her at an event I did back there at NIDA earlier this year.
Mm. And of course, she would have been impressed, brother.
She was, like, she said she was, yes. And it was absolutely humbling.
Good.
To hear that from her. So I've got a 45-minute show that I'm doing.
Yes.
There'll be probably about 9 or 10 poems that I'm doing, performed in a set of, I don't know, up and down, different kind of delivery, kind of, I don't know.
Can we have a taste? Can you share one of your poets, your poetry with us, please?
I'll tell you what, I've got one there that I wrote about my old grandmother.
Mm.
I'll just see if I can find it.
Please do, brother. And how long have you been storytelling, brother?
Oh, my whole life.
Good on you.
I've been around storytellers. I've been around songwriters. I've been around poets and all that kind of stuff. My whole life.
Beautiful.
My whole life.
Yep. And we are storytellers, are we not, brother man?
We are.
Yes.
We are. As I think as mob, I think that's our thing, is that we are storytellers, and we're there to be telling the truth and be telling honestly, you know, stories about our lives and what it means to be mob, I suppose.
Yes, exactly.
But this one here is called Old Hands, and this one's about my old grandmother, and says, I dreamt of apple pie in summertime last night. Old hands fold flour through water, a pinch of salt, a touch of sugar. Just enough butter rubbed through tiny wrinkled fingers to bring it all together, her rolling pin, a magic wand. The fire waits already within that wood-fired oven. It heats her tiny kitchen like summer sun pressed down upon that tin roof. Children laugh in the distance. Apples heat and bubble. Crust they brown like skins of little ones who refuse to wear shirts in the afternoon sunshine. A cool breeze kisses her through half-open windows. The gentle reminder of those old ones that have moved on now to that other place where now they wait for her and she waits by her table, where the only thing that she measures there is love.
Powerful. And when you listen to that, we've all been there, haven't we? Our granny there making food kai kai there, making mai there, you know?
Yeah.
And the smell of the food, and still run around with no shirt on, playing tiggy and what have you. Been there, done that, brother. Been there, done that. So powerful.
I tell people, I learned much more than just cooking in my grandmother's kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kitchen is the encyclopedia for us mob growing up, eh?
Yes. Yeah.
So true, my brother. So you
learn how to love, learn how to share food, share good story, and I think that's where I learn the art of storytelling as well.
My brother, and the stories I'm picking up, it keeps you so grounded. Oh, your roots are strong.
Has to.
You know,
has
brother.
To, I think.
Yeah. So it deadly.
To,
so,
I think as mob, we need to be able to find our home, yeah, and find where home is, and that, and my grandmother's kitchen. When anybody says to me, they say, "Oh, where's home?" Instantly, I'm in my grandmother's kitchen.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay? Sunday afternoon, it's like the football's on. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, he's out in the lounge room, swearing at the TV.
We got
45 cousins in the backyard playing touch football.
Exactly.
That's where home is.
That's where home is. No, so fantastic, my brother. So you are sharing that Shine on Gimoy, and it kicks off this afternoon, and you're performing 6th of October, 4:45 p.m. Salt House Festival Hub.
Yes.
So to all our daily listeners out there, whether you're down in Innsville, up in the Tablelands, up in Mossman, Mareeba, come on down, check out Gimoy, Shine on Gimoy, and check out brother man Rob Waters, tell his story, and tickle you, I would say.
Please come down.
Fantastic,
nothing
my brother.
That way, yeah.
So you use this as your hobby, or if not a financial vehicle, a business as such, that takes you around the country, brother Rob?
It's crazy. I've just started to travel around and start sharing my words and sharing story, and being able to be, you know, and to be flown around, and people, you know, they come and they pay to come and see me, and it's like, I'm freaking out.
Yeah, sure. Well, don't freak out, because you are where you're meant to be. And you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know?
Appreciate that.
Brother,
it's
a medicine that you're delivering. Understand that.
Yeah.
You know, brother? I mean, I got goosebumps on my goosebumps. Think about the work you do and tell them about Look, I love my beautiful grandmother, with us in spirit, of course, but...
Yes.
No, I love my mum, but I know grandmother was high up there.
my grandmother...
I love her grannies.
She passed 5 years ago today.
Yeah, brother. And
yeah,
see,
poor old thing.
Well, she's living in you. You could say that, Rob.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, beautiful woman.
My brother, beautiful. Lovely talking with you. We will witness you in action, Rob Waters. And please stay in touch with Bumma Bipa Media, National Tall Blokes, so we can have more yarns and you can have more stories here on radio. We are in the 21st century. Everyone's on Facebook, but they still listen to the wireless, my brother.
thank you so much for the call,
Rob.
And, I'm looking forward to getting up there to Gimoy and just being able to share some stories.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, you travel safe. Be strong, my brother. And we'll yarn soon, brother Rob.
Yo.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Rob Waters, his name is. He's performing at the Shine on Gimoy, 6th of October, 4:45 p.m. That's at the Salt House Festival Hub. So if you want to listen to a poet, a storyteller, cultural educator, and spoken word artist. I love that description. Spoken word artist. Too deadly. Got some deadly yarns there. And he shared one of his yarns there about his grandmother cooking in the kitchen. And you've all been there. You know it, you mob. Black and white. Too deadly. Have you say yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. Deadly number here. 1-800-422-416. Thinking about your body next to mine. Butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
You're my brother, just like you're from another mother.
Don't be too brave to say.
Think back to the good old times. We had the windows down and we were children, had the vibes.
There was no other way.
These days, they're moving too fast. Can't help but reminisce about the memories of the past.
Life was so simple then.
So time out, stop the clock. Before you know it, you'll have just about forgot.
So take it easy, man.
It's a free-flowing motion. Thinking of all our good times. It's a free-direction.
Sing, it makes you want to bang a drum too.
Don't be too brave to say.
Yeah, Deadly Track, Good Times, Moses Warrisom and Friends. Big shout out, Moses. Hope you're well, brother. Was there at your launch for your last album only a couple of months ago, Too Deadly. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? We're going to catch up with Henry on the line. Henry, good morning, Henry. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bala. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, Henry. Where are you calling from?
WA, brother.
WA, Henry. Hey, my brother. Wichai, how are you?
Yeah, all in work in progress, my brother.
Good, good, good. Let the mob know who your mob, where you from, Henry?
Yeah, Lagalag from the Torres Strait Islands, Old Mapoon in the Western Cape there.
Beautiful.
And,
Good to hear your voice. Henry Nona, big shout out, my brother. So you're working in the mines over there at WA, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got a business in the resource sector, brother.
Good, good. What's the business called?
Color Euro Group. Before we continue, my brother, I just want to say good morning to all our listeners out there. right across the country. The sole purpose of my call, my brother, I just want to take this opportunity, just post-referendum, specifically around the voting results last year there, Mabala.
Yes.
I know that it's all in work in progress. It's I want to take this opportunity to call out the Governor General in this country, my brother. He got appointed 1st of July, Brother Sam there, just with reference to his mandate when representing the monarch, the Western system in this country.
Yes.
You don't see him make the media headlines, the most influential authoritative figure in our country.
Yep.
And I want to call him out this morning, my brother, with reference to a national debate around referendum.
Yes.
And as First Nation people, it's very disheartening, my brother, with reference to going through that formality last year, the referendum formality. It's really, I can understand, my brother, as First Nation people going through that process. That's why Sovereign Indigenous Government is a classic example of when you talk about freedom in this country.
Yes.
And I know that there's other bodies across Australia, similar setup like Sovereign Indigenous Government out of Cairns there, where you're situated, my brother.
Yes.
And I believe that's the way to go. And I know that we're not legally recognized by the legal system of this country as a result of we're a national independent sovereign state. And with reference to the governor, my brother, I just want to mention to listeners out there, you don't see him make the media headlines. You see a lot of political parties, and when it comes to them representing their mandate.
Mm.
But I believe the governor general has the obligation in terms of post-referendum going forward. If it won't happen in our lifetime, my brother, I know it'll happen in generations to come.
We keep banging the drums, don't we?
Yeah, my brother. I think it's a work in progress. Roman was built in a day, and I know that
this is becoming a very long day.
Yeah, you're dead right there, my brother. I think in terms of the United Nations, in the global community, my brother, I just want to mention to all our listeners out there, Australia is the only country in the global community doesn't have a human rights act in place.
For treaty.
And one got to ask the question, why this country is not in alignment with the United Nations mandate in the global community.
Yeah, point taken, brother, point taken, and a very good statement, for sure, yes.
And I think going forward, my brother, I know that in terms of awareness and education, I know there's a lot of our mob in the political arena. For example, we have Indigenous Affairs Ministers in each state, and I think the Federal Office Cabinet, I take my hat off for, there's a lot of goodwill there, brother, in terms of past and present bureaucrats in office, specifically around Indigenous Affairs. I think going forward, my brother, I just want to take our listeners down memory lane. Paul Keating, I recall when he actually, I was a bit young back in the days, come from a very political family. You would know my godfather there in Cairns there, Angelo Newey.
Yes.
And I think looking at the history, when Paul Keating in Sydney, in Redfern, made a clear statement that sticked with me over the years, specifically around the heart of negotiation. And I believe all our bureaucrats, our elders, traditional owners right across this country, I think we need to really understand the very fundamental of negotiation going forward. And as you know, my brother, there's a clear definition between sovereignty and recognition.
Yeah.
And we're actually pursuing, as the Honourable Minister for Sovereign Indigenous Government in Cairns there, Gumul country, as the Honourable Minister for Gas, Oil and Mining and National Security, I know that we have our challenges, brother, in that political space, in Far North Queensland. For example, trying to negotiate a treaty with the federal government over the years. I know that it's a working progress. But I thought I'd call out the Governor General in this country, my brother, for a national debate, specifically around post-referendum.
Well, there's the call out, my brother. There's the call out. Fantastic. Step up.
Yeah, my brother.
The debate has been put forward.
Yeah, my brother, I want to challenge him on the national stage when it comes to post-referendum.
Yes.
And, like, for example, no disrespect to our mob that represents us in the Commonwealth regime in this country. When they get sworn into office, for example, my brother, the Indigenous Affairs Ministers, whether you talk about NT, as you know, their political regime, it's a totally different dynamic compared to rest of Australia. But specifically to do with the Commonwealth, when the Indigenous Minister, I say it respectfully, if they're listening in, when they get sworn into office, my brother, one got to really see and read between the lines, they swear their allegiance to the Crown.
Yes.
So as a native of this land, that indicates to me, how do I give them my trust and respect if they actually swore their allegiance from the moment they get sworn into office?
Yes.
And I honestly believe, my brother, in terms of post-referendum, going through that voting system, all our mob right across Australia, families need to be ever mindful that that regime, it's been created from a foreign country.
Yes, true. So true. The laws and the rules are from another country.
If I want to take our listeners down history, memory lane, 1788, as you know, my brother, in Sydney, when the Union Jack was planted, and my heart goes out, I think our main focus, Brother Trevor, is empowering our younger generation. I think in terms of setting them up for success. Like, for example, my brother, in the political space here in WA, as a business owner, the Aboriginal Heritage Act, I was part of a national working party with the Commonwealth Government, working in alliance with them last year. The Aboriginal Heritage Act in the mining sector, specifically in WA, wasn't reviewed for 70 years.
Yeah.
I just want to mention to all our listeners out there, in WA, gas, oil and mining industry.
Exactly.
And
Prime example. My brother, I've got to go to the news, but please keep in touch.
Definitely, my brother. I'll ring in tomorrow. Thank you.
Please do. One love. Love you. Beautiful yarn there. Brother Henry Nona, all the way from WA. Trendy Trev, got a sign up for today's program. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay strong. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that daily program, National Talk Back, your program, and we'll yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly.
Oh, yo, whoa.